Yeah, normally, since I know
Sports
it's
December 16th. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, iTunes. And if you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels. If you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest when it comes to sports. This episode is brought to you by InstaBible and 12-1 Training. Get your gear on and get your Bible app on. There's only one major trophy remaining for Joe Burrow to lift up this college football season. The LSU quarterback on Saturday won the Heisman Trophy, given to the most outstanding player in college football. He beat out fellow quarterbacks Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma and Justin Fields from Ohio State and defensive end Chase Young, also from Ohio State, to hoist the 85th edition of the award at the PlayStation Theater in New York City. And joining us to talk to us a little bit about Heisman, Justin Riley. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Man, glad to be here. Still talking about football during the waiting period between the end of the regular season and bowl season.
Of course. Obviously, you know, these next couple of weeks is going to be pretty died down, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, it's virtually quiet right now. Nothing really going on except recruiting. You know, signing day is early sign period is just around the corner, so that gives us a little excitement to tide us over until the official start of bowl season. And that starts, you know, our palate will be full of quality college football until the mid January time. So, pretty exciting thing to look forward to. Right now, it's just quiet, and we're very anxious.
Well, Joe Burrow finished with the largest margin of victory in Heisman history at 1,846 points, separated him from second place Hurts. He also received a record of 90.7 of all first place votes available and was named 95.5% of ballots, another record. I think the record he broke was O.J. Simpson back in the 70s. Justin, how surprised were you with this Heisman Trophy?
I wasn't surprised at all, to be honest with you. I think we all have known for weeks, unless you just refuse to accept reality, that Joe Burrow was going to run away with this award. And like you said, man, it's pretty astounding. I mean, in every category, he finished greater than 90% with 90% of the votes. Who does that? Joe Burrow, a guy that's passed for nearly 5,000 yards and I think near 50 touchdowns. I mean, the guy's just been incredible, man. And it seems like every game he has stepped up to another level. And I don't think that you could say he's had a bad game this year, unless you call passing up for under 350 yards a bad game. But he has been just stellar week after week, and he has carried himself and LSU to a promised land that they hadn't seen since 2011. So there's no surprise here. The biggest surprise to me, or mystery of it all, was who was going to finish number two. And like you said, that was Oklahoma's quarterback, Jalen Hurts, you know, 1486, just separated both of them. Just a wide, wide margin. Pretty excited for Jalen Hurts to finish number two. I was hoping by some outside chance or miracle that he would pull the upset and get the number one spot, but it wasn't to be. But you can't really discredit, you know, just because he didn't win what he's done this season. Just a tremendous story. And the good thing is we get to see more of both Jalen and Joe Burrow here in just a few weeks. But, yeah, Joe Burrow is very deserving of this award. He's done things for LSU, the SEC, and college football that we haven't seen before. And what really made it equally pleasing for the viewers and fans was just his humble approach. And that speech, if you didn't watch it, please go back and watch it. You can find it on any form of social media, YouTube. I'm sure on ESPN you can download it as well.
Or on the Sportscast Twitter.
Yeah, the Sportscast Twitter, we have a little bit of it too. We have the part of the speech where he was thinking – Coach Ogeron for what he did for him, and just really tremendous, man. This kid is very selfless, very humble, just a great kid, somebody that you really can't cheer against, unless you're just one of those people who just has a cheer against them. You know, it's funny is that I was called out today, being told I'm not a true Alabama fan because I was cheering for Joe Burrow and cheering and for LSU to win the national title, because it's supposed to be Bama versus the outside world. No, that's not how it works. That's not what determines a true fan. You know, first of all, I'm going to show respect when respect is due. Second of all, I paid 5 years of out-of-state tuition, got the greatest of Alabama, been a fan since I was 7 years old. I think I'm a true fan. So anyway, not that I'm done with that tangent, man. Just a great guy. It's really cool. I don't know if you saw this. I posted on my personal Twitter after the speech. You know, during that speech, he had mentioned just the poverty rate of the area he grew up in. It actually motivated people to donate over $150,000 to a local food pantry in that area of town in Ohio he is from. So. And it's just, man, what he said and what he's doing is just having a tremendous effect, not only in college football, but outside of the college community.
Joe Burrow said in his speech, "My journey, I wouldn't have it traded for anything in the world." He transferred to LSU from Ohio State after the 2017 season during an emotional acceptance speech. The senior thanked his offensive line and other teammates first during his speech, but saved his gratitude toward LSU coach Ed Orgeron. He said, "You have no idea what you mean to my family," Burrow said through tears. "You know I didn't play for 3 years, and you took a chance on me not knowing if I could play or not, and I am forever grateful for you." I believe 3 out of the 4 Heisman candidates were transfers. Do you think that's a trend that you think you'll see come in for like the next couple of years where, you know, a lot of these best players come from transfers?
Well, I think that it wouldn't be unheard of to see more of this happening just because of how the transfer was so college football now. People are leaving left, and now will that translate to, you know, high trophy, Heisman Trophy, being a Heisman Trophy finalist down the road like it did these three gentlemen? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, this is a rarity. I mean, three, not one, not two, but three of these guys were transfers coming from another school. That's just mind-blowing. It's something that just doesn't happen. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of it. Maybe not as many at one Heisman presentation, but it wouldn't be unheard of to think that, just like I said, with the how prevalent it is now for people just to hop out of where they're at and get into the portal and head somewhere else.
Now, former Alabama player Jalen Hurts, now current Oklahoma quarterback and going into the playoffs, what's second place? Why was he second? Obviously, no one projected him to be second. People were thinking Chase Young or even Justin Fields. But why did he show up second?
Well, he wasn't getting the publicity the second half of the season where like Justin Fields was and Chase Young was, and a lot of his accomplishments were really overshadowed because of just the rise of those two players I just mentioned. So a lot of people just kind of forgot what he was doing and really forgot that he was there. And then too, he didn't really finish strong. They really would catch him in the eyes of the voters and fans. Well, it catch him in the eyes of the voters, obviously, because he finished second. But he had a great season. I mean, he passed for over 3,200 yards and then added, you know, close to 1,200 yards on the ground. I think he had like maybe 20 yards rushing and then had another 30-plus yards through the air. That's a pretty phenomenal stat line there. So you can't really argue. And he definitely as far as stats go, he outplayed Justin Fields, had more rushing yards, had more passing yards. So it's not really something that I would count as a surprise because Jalen's had a really good year. He's been tremendous. He definitely has been a fan favorite across the board, whether you're an Alabama fan, Oklahoma fan, or just a fan of college football in general. And I think a lot of his story and just him being a solid guy character wise just continued to resonate with the voters throughout this whole process.
Jalen Hurts, who transferred to Oklahoma after spending his first three seasons at Alabama, was vying to become third consecutive Sooners quarterback and a record-breaking eighth OU player overall to capture the Heisman. Halloween wins by Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and in 13 games, Hurts threw for 3,634 yards with 32 touchdowns and 7 interceptions and rushed for 1,255 yards and 18 more touchdowns. So he definitely had a good season. Obviously, he couldn't follow what his predecessors did. But we'll see what happens with Jalen Hurts the next couple of weeks as he takes on LSU, a team that he has a good record against, but we'll see what happens. Alabama football news. Alabama will likely be without three defensive starters when it plays Michigan in the Citrus Bowl. Outsider linebacker Terrell Lewis and cornerback Trevon Diggs are sitting out the game and instead beginning to prepare for the NFL draft, Nick Saban confirmed today. In addition, freshman defensive tackle DJ Dell is doubtful for the game due to knee injury he sustained late in the regular season. Are you surprised with these sit-outs?
No, not at all. That's just the way the game is turning right now. We've all seen the past few seasons when it came to the bowl games, a large number of players are sitting out in favor of protecting themselves and their draft status by sitting out. I certainly understand what these guys are doing and why they're doing it. They don't want to suffer any kind of horrific injury that could set them back or just ruin their NFL playing career altogether. So they're playing it safe. They're cashing their chips in, taking the stats they've accumulated thus far in their career, and are going to sit out. So it was to be expected. You know, it was speculated in the recent weeks that we may be with the services of everybody. But, you know, if you really thought that was going to be the case, you were kind of fooling yourself. You would expect a few of these guys to actually act upon that and play it safe. And they are. Terrell Lewis is a guy that's projected pretty high. And he's a guy also, too, that has been no stranger to injury during his Alabama career. This has been his first season. He's actually been healthy the entire season. He's actually missed two seasons due to injury. So you can definitely understand what he's doing here. Trevon Diggs is another guy that's projected to go high, so he's protecting himself as well. So I definitely understand it. There may be some more to come. Hopefully there won't be, but I totally get it. My big thing is, as an Alabama fan, as a selfish fan, you know, I like to see best on best. I want everybody there because I really want to take out Michigan. But at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about these guys' future.
The rest of the Crimson Tide's NFL draft prospects went through practice Monday, including running back Najee Harris and wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. Do you think these guys might back out of that game?
Well, Jerry Jeudy's already confirmed he's playing. He wants to suit up. He wants to have one last dance with his team. But he also hasn't confirmed whether or not he is going to the NFL. So keep that in mind. Of course, he may just be delaying it because he wants to focus on the game itself. Doesn't necessarily mean he's going to come back. I'd be shocked if he did come back. But I think his focus right now is just being with his team and getting a victory over Michigan. Najee Harris, I'm excited to hear that he will be playing. He hasn't yet announced his NFL decision yet, so that may change in the next few days and probably weeks. But his focus right now is playing against Michigan. So pretty excited to have the services of those two guys who are very critical pieces to our offense.
Something to definitely look at, of course. Alabama will be playing Michigan on December 28th, right?
January 1st,
New Year's Day Bowl. Pretty exciting time to see what could happen. Obviously, this College Bowl isn't, you know, playing for much, just for pride. But, you know, it's good to see these players one more last time. Lane Kiffin is rumored to be poaching some Alabama coaches. he is apparently trying to get Scott Corcoran, who's been contacted by Kiffin for an expanded role in Oxford. Are you surprised about this?
No, not at all. I mean, it's not uncommon for, you know, new coaches to, you know, go out and get the best that are available to try to build their program and build their team. And so it's no surprise he's going after Scott Corcoran, who in my mind and a lot of folks' minds is probably the best strength and conditioning coach in college football right now. He is largely responsible for Alabama's success on the field, especially from a physical standpoint. A lot of Alabama's success has been because of what he's been able to do for those players in the weight room and then also the conditioning that he puts them through. So you can attribute a lot of what Alabama's done to his expertise. He's the man. He's the goat of strength and conditioning. So it comes as no surprise that Lane is going after the best. I mean, he's got to get his program to compete with the big boys, and he doesn't get any bigger than the SEC West. So yeah, it comes as no surprise. I personally hope that Scott Corcoran stays with us. He's been there since day one. He's become an icon in Tuscaloosa, so I want him to stay.
Something to definitely look at the next couple of weeks. Recently, Lane Kiffin got a third-star quarterback. I believe the quarterback was heading to FSU and was able to flip him to Ole Miss. So Lane is flexing his muscles when it comes to recruiting.
And it comes as no surprise. Having Lane Kiffin there, it makes a big difference in recruiting for the Rebels, and especially from an offensive standpoint. That man is a genius when it comes to offenses and developing players. So it comes as no surprise he was able to flip a quarterback who otherwise would have gone to Florida State.
One rumor has it that Chase Young might come back for his senior season. Should he come back, Justin?
I mean, from an outsider's perspective, I'd say absolutely not. I mean, there's nothing more left for him to accomplish unless they fall short of attaining their ultimate goal, and that's winning a national championship. But as we have discussed previously amongst ourselves here, you know, he's going to be a top five pick. He may even be the number one pick. So there really is no reason for him to forego from a money standpoint. But, you know, if that truly is his and what he's seeing, and he wants to come back to do it one more time with his team, I completely understand it. It's definitely against the norm. That goes without saying. But I'd be very shocked to see anyone, you know, pass up a top five pick and probably possibly the number one pick and come back to school. He's going to graduate, but, you know, I feel like he'll probably end up going pro. I could be wrong. I'd be shocked.
Would that go the same for Tua?
Well, it remains to be seen. Like I said in a previous podcast, he's going to meet with scouts and get some evaluations done and just really see where they still feel like he will fall and make his decision. There's a lot of things involved here that are going to come into play. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, he may be projected high right now, but there's so much time between now and the NFL draft where doubt can creep in. It can start causing these GMs and scouts and coaches to start to question just, you know, is he worth a first-round pick? You got to remember, too, he's not going to be able to compete in the combine. So that's going to hurt his stock as well. That makes a big difference. So, you know, it's just there's a lot to take into consideration for Tua right now. You know, if he's still first round, I see him going. If he's still top 15, I could see him going. But the biggest thing for me is doubt going to creep in and cause him to drop in the draft, you know, come draft day.
He will miss completely NFL Combine. So it's an interesting situation to be in.
It is. And again, too, you know, he won't be able to compete in a pro day either. So they won't be able to, you know, see anything other than what they have on tape thus far. And they won't be able to accurately decide if he's completely healed from this either. So it's beginning to look a little bit more appealing for him to come back and show everybody he's healed, He's moved past it. He's 100%, and he can elevate his stock. So it really could go either way. And we all know how fickle the draft can be. And I sure would hate to see him choose to come out because he's projected to go high, only for them to change his mind, their minds later in the game, and he goes from first round to second round, maybe even third, because people just don't know.
The unknowns for Tua Tagovailoa continues. Let's go into NFL news. Outsider linebacker Terrell Suggs was claimed by the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday, according to Ian Rappaport of NFL.com. Will this be a good fit for Terrell Suggs?
No, he belongs with the Ravens. I'm pretty angry, man. Well, I'm frustrated because I'm a Ravens guy, and Terrell Suggs is a Raven. He's always going to be seen as a Raven. When his career is said and done, he's going to be known as a Raven. That's just called what it is. And reports coming out were saying that he would not accept any deal outside of playing for the Ravens. So I felt that that's where he was going to end up going. And then, boom, out of nowhere, he's a Kansas City Chief. So there you go. Now, I can't blame him for trying to better his situation. Lord knows he wasn't going to do anything worthwhile with Arizona. This is a team that's rebuilding and has no shot at the postseason, whereas Kansas City is another team that has a shot at the postseason and also has a shot to do a lot more. So he has an opportunity to do very well there. And also, too, he's a guy that's going to contribute pretty quickly and is going to help bolster that defense, which they do need him. They do need his veteran presence and his skill set to help with that defense, especially as the postseason draws near. So it's a great fit for them, and I think it's a great fit for him. Just wish that he'd be with the Ravens instead.
The New Orleans Saints, San Francisco 49ers, and Seattle Seahawks also put in claims per Rappaport, adding the Baltimore Ravens may have signed him if he cleared waivers. That comes after ESPN's Adam Schefter reported on Saturday that Suggs will strongly consider not reporting if a team other than the Ravens claims him, league sources say, adding that the Ravens were his overwhelming preference. So he doesn't have to show up to Kansas City. So once they waive him, he's able to climb up, you know, back to Baltimore.
Well, I'm not going to get my hopes up. I mean, if he accepted a deal with Kansas City and he's going over there, I mean, why go through all that hassle if he's just not going to report, not show up? I think he's a good businessman, and he's a man who will honor that. And so I fully expect to see him in a Chiefs uniform.
The Seattle Seahawks announced Monday that the wide receiver, Josh Gordon, whom they claim off waivers in November, was suspended indefinitely for violating the NFL policies on performance-enhancing substances and substance of abuse. This is a fifth suspension in 8 years for Gordon. What's up with Gordon? Why does he have these issues again?
Man, it just seems like the drama or the soap opera for Josh Gordon is just an ongoing thing. It's like kind of like a Netflix series. He got renewed for another season, and we're just seeing a guy that just is lost, and he can't quite find his way, and he hasn't been healed of whatever is going on mentally, and he's battling some demons, man, because this is something that just keeps reoccurring. You know, he never can quite escape it, and it's just sad because this is a guy who's a tremendous talent when he's playing 100% and he's focused and driven. It's just the only thing is now the window is closing on him as far as being able to be an excellent receiver, be an excellent player in the NFL, because he is getting older, and with all this trouble that's coming his way, it's going to make teams less likely to want to try to invest in him. It's just unfortunate because, like I said, this man is a tremendous talent, and if he really had his stuff together, he probably could be one of the better wide receivers in the league.
The receiver was suspended indefinitely just last December while a member of the New England Patriots. Gordon was conditionally reinstated in August, just in time for the start of the 2019 season. Gordon played six games with the Patriots this year, hauling in 20 catches for 287 yards and a score before New England waived the wideout in late October. Seattle picked up Gordon off waivers for next day in five games with the Seahawks. Gordon racked up seven catches on 11 targets for 130 yards and averaged 26 offensive snaps per game. So he's definitely a big asset for Seattle. Do you think Seattle will miss him a lot?
Not necessarily, because they really have some solid pieces in place there across the board. They're guys that, you know, they play well as a team. Their success is a team-based success. They just have everybody playing together, and they have great chemistry. And they also have some guys that are tremendous leaders, especially in the quarterback, Russell Wilson. I don't really think that they're going to miss him too much. But it remains to be seen. I'd be surprised if they really even noticed he was gone.
Something to definitely look at the next couple of weeks. But obviously, I don't know if anyone will pick him up or he'll be – I'm not sure what the whole rules here situation. But hopefully his life will be getting straightened out. He's a very young man, definitely a lot of potential. So we'll see what happens. Ready for some game predictions?
Let's do it.
All I have is the Colts at the Saints tonight.
Colts at the Saints, man. Huh.
What a game. Well, it is going to be a good game. Yeah, it's not going to be a blowout by the Saints, but.
No, I mean, it's not going to be one of those little yawners where you got one team who's dramatically better than the other at just beating the crap out of them, and you don't have a situation where you have two of the worst teams playing each other. You have two teams that are very competitive. Indianapolis is still doing good things, but New Orleans is doing things a lot better, and they're fired up. You know, they suffered a heartbreaker against San Francisco that they really shouldn't have lost, but I think that, you know, they're going to rebound, and I think they're going to be a team on fire, and I don't see any reason why they don't get back on track tonight.
So we'll see what happens. So what's your score line going to be?
I think the Saints will win 35-17.
35-17. You know, it's funny because these Colts team was maybe considered the second or third best team this past season in the AFC. Now they really dropped.
Well, they're a team that's in transition. You know, they've got some good pieces in place, but they're still just trying to get things put together. I mean, you know, losing Andrew Luck, who was arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the game when he was healthy, served as a tremendous blow. You know, Jacoby Brissett is a good quarterback. He just needs some more time to grow and develop. But this really isn't their year to do it. And I think that the success they have shown us is just a little bit of overachieving. But I think next year is really going to be the year that they really make noise.
This Thursday is early signing period. Alabama's currently ranked number two. Do you think they'll be number one recruiting class this year?
I think that, you know, Saban can definitely pull something out. I don't see any reason why that in the final hour that he'll be able to pull something through that, you know, that moves them back in the first place. But, you know, it being number two ain't bad either. I mean, it's a perfect example why, you know, the Saban dynasty and the Alabama dynasty has not come to an end. If it comes to an end, you know, he wouldn't be in the top five right now in recruiting. So it doesn't look like there's any drop off at all.
According to 247, yeah.
So Alabama's in good shape.
According to 247 Sports, Clemson is number one in recruiting, then Alabama, then LSU, fourth Ohio State, fifth Texas A&M, sixth Georgia, seventh Texas, eighth Florida, ninth Oklahoma, and tenth Auburn. These teams are very, you know, look very familiar, of course, because they finished top in the college football playoff rankings. But we'll see. Looks like I think Clemson might finish first, but we'll see what happens in the next couple of days. Whole lot of last-minute flips and things like that. But Arizona State is tend to be could be the big surprise this season. So we'll see what happens. Justin, what is the best way to talk to you about Justin Fields?
Justin Fields, favorite player. Nah. You can reach me on Twitter, That's at 12-1 training. That's the number 12, one spelled out, training. Same on Instagram. I also help run the Sportscast Twitter account and Instagram account. That's at the Sportscast 1. So you can find me in either of those dwellings, and I'll be glad to talk to you about Justin Fields or anything else that comes to your mind.
Now, Justin Fields, of course, do you think he'll be a first rounder for the NFL?
It's still early to tell. I think that, you know, he needs to kind of continue to grow and get immature a little bit. He's just a sophomore.
He can't enter draft. I'm sorry.
No, he's just a sophomore, man. He's not quite ready yet. So next year is going to be his really year to make a push and show out for the NFL. I think that he's going to be projected as a first-round draft pick next year. So don't be surprised there.
And you can follow us along on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or at thesportscast1. We'll be following early signing period throughout the week. Tyler will have a special show this Thursday night once the signings have been completed. We'll see what happens, any last-minute flips. Things, you know, don't come into shape until this Thursday. But, you know, this is one of the first years that you see a lot of these signings happening early on. The official signing day is on February, but a lot of early commits happened around this time. So it's really exciting to see how things reflect, you know, and these recruiting things kind of reflect of what's going on in reality where, you know, like how they finish off towards the end of the season. It's kind of very reflective, right, Justin?
No, absolutely. It definitely coincides with the team's overall success the following seasons, and especially when it comes to the playoffs, man. You know, if you've listened to any of our podcasts, you know, with Tyler, you know, his the metrics of it all proves it. I mean, any team that's finished in the top four has had very incredible. I can't even talk. I'm just so taken back by the whole experience. It's just they've had incredible recruiting classes.
Heisman
it translates.
Heisman hangover.
Heisman hangover, man.
No,
tell you what, man. That Joe Burrow speech just got me, man. I'm still trying to, you know, get back to being, you know, happy and go lucky.
One hit wonder definitely has improved itself as well. And like I was saying about by recruiting, only a few teams like Utah fall in the cracks and make it up in the top 10. But those only happen one in a few times. So we'll see what happens this coming up week. We got Tyler on Thursday tomorrow. We got Victor tomorrow night. We also got Ryan Krista in the afternoon, so he'll be talking a little bit about NFL and what's going on in college basketball. But anyways, Justin has to go and pay some bills. I'll see you before the Michigan game.
The forecast ain't paying them.
I guess I'll see you before the Michigan Absolutely. Game or after the recap. I don't know. We'll see. It's gonna be a busy week because it all happens New Year's Day, and so
I'm gonna give a preview game, man. Gotta get ready. This is Bama versus Harbaugh, so this is a big deal.
It feels more of a scrimmage than a real game. I don't know.
It is real to me, sir. It's real to me.
Well, anyway, Justin, roll tide.
Roll tide.